it's just really good to be with you all again tonight. Eloise and I just went home last night just thanking God for this beautiful, beautiful Holy Spirit presence that's here. And I just bless God for you guys. Apostle Paul was always thanking God for the saints. Not the ain'ts, but the saints. And that's just how I feel about you guys. So Eloise allowed me to come up first. And now I'm going to allow her to come. And she wants to brag about, I mean, she wants to talk about the cards that she wrote. And they have... It's okay if you do. We were visiting these people in Saskatchewan. It's so close to our 53rd anniversary, and sure, she's forsaken me up here already. So, anyway, we were visiting with these people in Saskatchewan, and here's what they said in connection with this calling the prodigal home. They said that our children who lived in another part of Saskatchewan had communicated with them that they had gotten a hold of this card, and they were talking about what a difference it made in their lives since they started speaking the principles from the scriptures that are on this card. And so we've received some real encouraging responses from these products that are here. And the book is now translated into Telugu so that people in India who speak that language can read and learn about forgiveness. I spoke to a pastor's conference that Pastor Joseph got brought together. He's got, since his conversion from Hinduism, he's already planted 36 churches in India. Carved them all out of Hinduism. How do you like that? And so he called these pastors together, 42 some odd pastors, and gave me a chance to speak to them. He said, after I had delivered this message and the story about forgiveness, he said to me later that when the pastors were having their lunchtime, they were talking in terms of this message just being like a life-changing experience for them. And it is. Forgiveness. God is so gung-ho about forgiveness that he gave us this, the second person of the Trinity to come and give his life for us. And it is one of the most powerful concepts. So now, Eloise, you come and add to this. And the Lord bless you. Didn't she do a good job last night?
Okay, the reason why I'm up here is because I remembered that last night I promised to tell you some more details about my cards. Okay, so this is my laughing card that I wrote. Okay, one day John fell off the roof. I won't go into the details. And broke some bones, and he ended up in the hospital. Not long after that, after he got out of the hospital, we heard a knock at our door, and I opened the door, and there stood a policeman. He said, "Are you Josh Bergen's parents?" And we said, "Yes." He said, "If you want to see him alive again, you better get to the hospital as fast as possible." Well, I grabbed my purse, and we got up to the hospital as fast as possible. I won't go into the details of that, but... about that time also, my daughter phoned from another city, and she told me what was happening in her life. Well, I just started crying and crying. I just couldn't stop crying. And one day a friend of mine came to visit me, and just before she left, I said, "Before you leave, could you please help me laugh?" She says, "I don't know if I know how to do that." I said, "Well, just please try." And so there we sat, both of us crying and trying to laugh at the same time. So that's when God burst this laughing card in me. So that's why I can laugh now. Anyway, and this is the calling the prodigal home card. I just want to tell you just a story about one time when we went to visit, and it took us a long time to get there because we didn't live in this same place, to the jail that she was in. And I'd never been to a jail before, so I was like, oh my goodness, and this is my own daughter. And so we got into a room, and they brought her in, and she sat down, and she pulled up her pant leg like this, and she said, see these marks here? And she said, they're from the ankle cuffs. Well, I knew about the handcuffs, but ankle cuffs? And so anyway, I just looked at her, and we hugged each other and stuff. And I said to her, Amanda, has anybody ever broken out of this jail? And she said, oh, no. She said, and she started to explain all the security about the windows and the guards and all that kind of stuff. And then I said to her, has anybody ever broken into here? And she looked at me as if, Mom, you must be crazy. And she says, oh, no. And I said, Amanda, I know somebody who has broken into here. And I said, when you go back to your room after we leave, he's there waiting for you with a big smile on his face. He would never leave you in here by yourself. And finally she realized who I was talking about. I was talking about Jesus, and a little grin came to the side of her mouth. And as I was thinking about that tonight, I was thinking, maybe there's somebody here tonight who, in the space that you're in this life right now, you feel like sort of like in a prison, that the walls have been closing in on you, and you want to get out, and you don't know how to get out. Well, I want to assure you that Jesus has already broken into there, and he's already in there with you, and he's saying to you, I will never leave you. No matter how hard it feels, no matter what the thing is that's closing in on you, he's saying, I will never, ever leave you.
Amanda is our first adopted child. Our own two biological kids grew up 18, 19 years of age, and we started adopting kids. It wasn't my idea. My idea was to go fishing for the rest of my life, but it was my wife's idea. So I went along with it. Dirty diapers all over again, and all of that sweet stuff. And today Amanda has graduated, like Eloise said yesterday, from 2 years of Bible college, has the call of God for the ministry on her life. And we got two grandchildren out of that scenario on the streets of Calgary. And the oldest one is Brooklyn. She's about 13, 14 now, and Deshaun came 2 years later. He's about 11 or 12. And we just love these kids. It's amazing how God turns real bad things into good things. Amen? Well, so now I guess we can all go home. Unless you're going to stay and listen to this discussion. I want to present a symposium tonight. A symposium is a discussion where more than one person does the speaking. You understand? It's not hard to grasp. And the symposium is about a very, very needy subject to talk about in the body of Christ. And I've entitled this symposium, The Unlimited Potential of the Human Mind When It Is Superimposed by the Mind of Christ. Can you follow me on that? the unlimited potential of the human mind when it is superimposed by the mind of Christ. And the reason why it is so important to talk about the mind tonight is because Jesus did. He said that we were supposed to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So there we are. Like Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. And Paul talks about renewing the mind so that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect plan of God for your life. So the mind is a very important part of our anatomy. Would you agree with that? So here goes. Here goes. A symposium on the unlimited potential of the human mind when it's superimposed by the mind of Christ to walk into divine health on a daily basis. That's what I'm trying to get across tonight. Are you with me? Let's go for it. In one of Josh McDowell's books, and he's that wonderful writer on apologetics. How many of you have read and studied any of his books? Evidence for the Resurrection and all of that. In one of his books, he makes mention of a survey that was taken in the U.S. a few years ago. And the purpose of the survey was to find out which class of society was the healthiest and which was the sickest. When he gave the results of the survey in that book, I was disturbed. I really was. I was almost angry. Guess which class of society turned out to be the sickest? Anybody want to be bold enough to guess? Well, I know you're at a disadvantage because I read this stuff and maybe you didn't. So I'll just tell you. The survey showed that the Christians, the church people, were the sickest. And I thought to myself, that's not possible. There's something wrong with this survey. And someday maybe I'll have time to search that thing out and see if it was really justified. But I trust Josh McDowell. He is a very astute writer, converted atheist. But it just gave me reason to really think, now where are we at as the body of Christ when we're known as the sickest physically, mentally, emotionally bunch that's out there? That's not a good testimony, is it? And I just want to encourage you when it comes to Leah, Mike and Moe's daughter. Let's bring her through this, because it is such an obvious attack of the enemy, again, against the members of the body, one member of the body of Christ. And she's a very important person because God brought her into this life to complete the plan of God for her life. And for some reason, I don't think that God's agenda for her is finished. Now, I don't know where you stand on that, but I just want to encourage you to just stand strong. Amen? Let me just deviate a little bit from the discussion tonight. I received a phone call from a missionary, a Canadian missionary in Kitale, Kenya, a few years ago. And she said, John, would you please come to the hospital to help us pray for Pastor Mary? She was a powerful Kenyan black preacher woman. And here she is in this third world hospital, dying of AIDS. She had had one immoral sexual tryst before she became a Christian. And that HIV thing tracked her right into the Christian life. And by this time, she was a pastor. God's call was on her to preach the word. And here she is. And so this missionary from Kelowna, B.C., actually, she said, John, would you come and help us pray for her that she might be healed? And so I said I would. And so the phone clicked off, and immediately I said, Holy Spirit, what's the word for this lady? Because she doesn't have long. She was already having seizures. Her blood was giving her problems, you know, the clotting and all that. Her digestive system was awry, and she didn't have long. So I said, Holy Spirit, I can't miss it. What is the word? And so my mind was taken immediately to the Psalms, where it says that you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's a great promise to speak over Leah. So I said, Holy Spirit, that's good enough for me. I'll go and apply that, minister that word to her. And so I did. And there she is, flat on a bed, very listless. And I ministered that word to her. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I get aggressive sometimes when I'm in that mode. And 6 months later, I was back in Kitale, in Kenya, for a very important convention. And it was Sunday morning, and my friend Mina, who's also our accountant over there, he was driving me to another village to preach. But our car got stalled before we got out of town. And who should come along the street from the opposite direction but this little white car that we gave to the missionaries after we had to come back to recuperate from the attack. And so this little car comes bumping along, and out steps Pastor Mary. I hadn't seen her for about 6 months. And so I got out of this car that I was sitting in waiting for it to get fixed. And I ran across the street and I said, Mary, how are you? She said, I'm healed. Wow, wasn't that something else? Incurable disease, but healed because of the word of the Lord. Which leads me to that promise where it says, He sent them His word and healed them. So friends, I just want to encourage you. Stay in God's presence until He gives you words from the throne room for Leah. And we'll see her healed. That's the promise. So, anyway, back to the symposium. God's people need to be walking in divine health. Would you believe that to be true? So then, I was arrested by what Dr. Caroline Leaf, the Christian brain scientist, had to say in her book, Who Switched Off My Brain. I've got several of her books. And she says that there's a body of research out there that shows that up to 80% of all mental and emotional and physical illnesses can be related directly to our thought life. Wow. Just think about that for a minute. 80% of the diseases and sicknesses that are out there directly related to how we think? My, oh my, oh my. That leaves only 20% to other causes. And so I started thinking about that. Now, what could those other causes be? And I thought, well, birth defects. That could be one. You know, where the DNA has gone a little awry. And another one could be malnutrition. I was in a village where the young doctor that was interning there told me, this is in Kenya, he said, you should have been here 2-3 months ago when I was relating to children that were supposed to be 5 kilograms in weight. And because of the drought, he said, they were starved down to 2 and 3 kilograms. In other words, half the child was starved away just because there was no food in the village. And that kind of malnutrition puts children in a very, very vulnerable spot. And then the third thing that I thought would be another cause to make up the 20%, and this is where negative spiritual influences take hold of people's lives. What do I mean by that? Well, a year and a half ago, I was in Haiti preaching there for, ministering there for a week. And in one of the meetings, the pastor, the black pastor, was sitting on the platform with me, said, there's two people that have come forward to the platform to be prayed for. They're both blind. I said, well, let's go and do it. And so he interviewed them, and they told him that they had been to the doctor to see why they were blind. And the doctor had told them, I don't see anything wrong with your eyes to explain why you should be blind. Well, I put two and two together in the spirit, and I concluded that because these voodoo devils aren't, they don't show up on x-rays necessarily, that it would be a spiritual problem. That was the witness that I had. And so I rebuked the spirit of blindness, and I commanded that thing to come out in the name of Jesus. And then I released the healing power of Jesus to flow into those eyes so that they could see. So I said to the pastor, ask him. Like, they're all French over there. Pardon me, John Paul, but you'd fit in there better than I. You've got an anointing for that lovely language. So I said, ask him, what's Jesus doing for you right now? Like, I always like to stay around for the miracle. Don't you? I learned it from those four guys that took this paralyzed guy up to the roof and opened the roof when nobody would give way to, you know, nobody had faith to open the door. The doorways were plugged with people in that particular setting in the gospel. And here these four guys let this guy, a friend of theirs who was paralyzed, down to where Jesus was teaching below. And then it says this, and Jesus looked up, and when he saw their faith, he spoke deliverance to the man from sin and also from sickness. When he saw their faith, they had faith that you could see. They stuck around for the miracle. I learned from that. That's just why I like to stick around until I see it. And so, where was I? Oh, yes, in Haiti. That's right. So I said to the pastor, check him out. See what God, Jesus is doing for him. So he did. He asked him about the color of his tie. Well, first he asked him, so what is Jesus doing for you? Well, the man said, I see you. Hey, that's a good indication that we're on the right track. So he checked him out on the color of his tie. He had that right. Color of his lapel, had that right too. So this guy was fully healed. He could even distinguish colors. And the young lady was also healed. So here's an example of where spiritual powers take sight from people's eyes. In fact, the French pastor told me that these voodoo devils often make people blind. And let me add, also deaf. A deaf man in Cuba he came for prayer. The Lord gave him his ears to hear. So that was wonderful. And another meeting in a village in Kenya, where the prayer line was, and there's always a prayer line. People are always coming for prayer. They want everything that the preachers talked about, and they want it now. And they're just so simple about their faith, they receive it. So here's this mother holding a baby in her arms, and the pastor told me that baby is sick. And the first word that the Holy Spirit popped into my brain was witchcraft. So I said to her, are you involved in witchcraft? And she said, no, but my neighbor is a witch doctor. Wow. I could immediately put two and two together. That guy's putting curses on this lady. When she goes to church, she's going to be carrying a sick baby. So we just rebuke that curse in the name of Jesus. And maybe, I can't remember all the details, but you know, I'd like to send it back to where it came from. It probably hit that witch doctor right between the eyes. And so I just rebuke that curse in the name of Jesus and release the healing power of Jesus into that baby. A few days later, I phoned Pastor Moses, who was pastoring that church. I said, "How's that baby?" He said, "The baby is just fine." I said, "Well, I want you to get me a visit, an appointment with the witch doctor." So he tried. He said, "John, the witch doctor will not see you." So I guess he was too scared of the power of Jesus that he had already experienced, I suppose, to some extent, when this curse came back at him. But you know what? I encouraged Pastor Moses to go after that man and lead him to Jesus. You know what? He did come to Christ. And he came to the place eventually where he burned his artifacts. And with his wife's encouragement and also with Pastor Moses' encouragement, he said, "Well, I paid a lot of money for those things." But he finally made the break. He just destroyed them all. And today, he's in heaven with Jesus. Didn't you say praise the Lord? Oh, I'm a bit deaf. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, that's great. So sicknesses and all of that can certainly be affected by spiritual powers. And this is, of course, where the psychiatrists don't understand so often what's happening. Like a schizophrenic person, he's just chemically imbalanced. Well, I ministered to one of those guys in Vernon in that church and rebuked that spirit of schizophrenia. And he was immediately changed by the power of Jesus. So friends, we have authority in Christ to change things and bring better levels of health. So anyway, back to the book where Dr. Leaf is talking to us about brain science and also making many references to the Judeo-Christian Bible to go along with what she's saying, because the Bible is so in sync with every kind of science there is, including brain science. And so she combines those two books, the science, the realm of science, and also the inspired Word of God. And so I'd like to lift out three concepts from Dr. Leaf's book to just bring this to a head here tonight. The concept where she talks about the effects of stress on our overall health. Okay? That'll be number one. Stress and its effects on bodily health. Number two, our thought life and how it affects our health. And number three, where she talks about how renewing the mind can bring us into a whole new level of health and wellness. So let's just take a look at those three things. And how many of you have any of her books, by the way? Dr. Caroline Leaf? Leaf, just like a leaf on the tree? One person back there? Yes? I would encourage you to get those. You can get them from Amazon or wherever. And start researching this brain science, and then you can apply it better to your own personal health issues and so on. So let's talk about stress. That's the first one, and how it affects our health. Dr. Leaf defines stress as a global term to express the extreme to describe the extreme strain on our body, on the health of our bodies through toxic or because of toxic thinking. Toxic thoughts, according to her, are thoughts that are negative. They're destructive. They're not positive. They'll have a bad effect on things in your life. So that's what toxic, poisonous thoughts will do. And she says that stress is caused by toxic thoughts. And please understand, these three concepts, the stress and the thought life and the renewed mind, they all sort of have a way of overlapping, which serves then to strengthen each point every time you refer to it. So here's stress, and she says that when you allow stress to run rampant throughout your body, she says it will hijack almost every function of your body. She says the immune system will get so distorted by stress, the DNA molecule will not be able to discern who the enemy invaders are that are trying to make you sick and diseased. The immune system gets so distorted that it can't discern who the enemy invaders are, and then it begins to attack your good cells. Now that's very much like what cancer does. So friends, that's a serious thought to consider, isn't it? The immune system, she says, is designed by the Creator to take out most cancer cells. But when we engage in stress and thoughts related to stress, then the immune system gets so distorted that it can't possibly do its job. And then the digestive system, she says, gets affected negatively when you have stress running rampant through your body. She says anything from stomach ulcers to leaky gut syndrome and vomiting and cramps and on, diarrhea and constipation. Wow, those things are opposites, aren't they? But the digestive system gets so negatively affected by stress and the thoughts that cause stress that it just doesn't function. And it won't allow, stress will not allow the digestive system to exact the nutrients from your food the way it should. And she says, don't ever go to bed when you're stressed out with anger or unforgiveness or something like that. She says, it'll spoil your sleep. And don't sit down to a meal when you're angry with somebody because of the stress factor. It'll turn the food into poison for you. It's really serious what our minds can do to us without even warning us. And then the heart. When stress runs rampant, the heart gets affected. I learned a pretty tough lesson last October. I allowed myself to get into a situation where I was in serious or high levels of bodily stress. And my heart let me know that it wasn't happy with what I had permitted myself to get into on a stress level. Suddenly, my left shoulder and my left arm became total pain. And it didn't matter what position I tried to put my left arm in, it was just pain, excruciating pain. And then the sweats, just total perspiration. Eloise was mopping me up with paper towels because of the perspiration. And then the shakes from head to toe, I was shaking like a leaf in the wind. And then my stomach drove me to the toilet, and I began to vomit out everything, and then continued to vomit when there was nothing left. It was just a real tough time. And then my speech went all haywire. Eloise told me later, she said, the only thing that made any sense that was coming out of your mouth was the name Jesus, the word Jesus. So I guess if you're left with only one English word, it should be Jesus. And so then Eloise just stayed up with me for about 4 hours, 4.5 hours through the night, praying for me. And I scared her really bad sometimes because my eyes were like glazed, like there was no life there, staring right through her. She said she took my pulse a few times to see if I was still alive. The next morning, woke up, started to feel a bit better, and so I decided, well, I don't know what that is that I experienced last night, but I better go for a walk, see if it helps. And then I tried jogging a little bit, like my custom was, and some people told me that was nigh on to stupidity. But nevertheless, that's just the way I think. And all in all, when the cardiologist finally told me how serious they thought it was, they did the angiogram, blew the dye into my heart to see how much damage there was, because they were all ready to start stenting it, you know, putting those stents in there. And then they did a CAT scan on my brain, and also on my lungs. Next morning, the cardiologist comes into my room, and he says, John, we're checking you out. There's nothing wrong with you. By this time, of course, many people had kicked in with their prayers and their faith for me so that the Lord would heal me. And he did. Went on blood thinners and stuff like that for 3 months, you know, according to the prescriptions. And I wasn't my... Every time I went to the doctor for a blood analysis, he would give me this report that my liver was reacting negatively to the prescriptions, the medication. So I finally got tired of that after 3 months, and I said, Lord, I'm going to just put that medication on a shelf and go with the natural supplements that God has created for us to take. You know what? From the time that I put that other stuff on the shelf and went to this natural stuff, I felt new, exciting, almost ecstatic levels of energy in my body. And the zombie came out of my brain, and I haven't looked back. Now I can, a week or two ago, I was up to doing 100 push-ups a day. And I can run, I can walk, I can preach tonight. And so stress, I just learned a real valuable lesson. God had mercy on me. But stress, bodily stress, can just do it to your heart. So friends, if you want a better cardiovascular level of health and digestive health and immune health so that you can just walk in divine health, well, just keep that stress out. The Bible says, rest in the Lord. Somebody actually prophesied that to me. John, spend lots of time resting in the Lord. I took that to heart. So, but Dr. Leave makes an encouraging statement in her book on stress. She says, stress only becomes a serious issue when it's triggered by thoughts of fear. She says fear, according to the scientists, they have discovered that fear triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses in your body. And that combination triggers more than 30 hormone and neuroreactors, or transmitters in the body. She says that combination, triggered by thoughts of fear, puts the body in a frantic state. Frantic state. So, all of that to say this, that stress is not our friend. Even way back in the 60s, I was reading what a French Montreal doctor had to say about stress. I don't remember everything that he said, but I do remember this. He said, when stress is tolerated in your body, you can attract almost any kind of sickness or disease. Wow, that's a strong statement. Anything from skin rashes to stomach ulcers can become a threat to your body if you allow stress and tolerate that enemy. So let's deal with stress. Let's go to the second. Well, before we do, any response from anybody here? It's supposed to be a discussion. Any thoughts on stress or testimonies of what you've done with it in terms of gaining the victory over that kind of attack on your life? Like Dr. Leaf talks about that very thing, I think she connects with how the brain, one part of the brain, will communicate with the natural pharmacy part of your brain to order the correct amount of chemicals and the type to pump it into your body depending on how you think. Friends, let's keep our brain on our side, all right? And thank you for adding that. She actually refers to that verse in her book. And Paul puts that in the imperative mood in the Greek grammar there. Think on these things. So that makes it pretty much mandatory that we govern our thinking patterns according to that verse. Well, let's go on then to our thought life. From stress and what it can do to our thought life. And you understand, of course, we're overlapping. But what Dr. Leaf has to say about our thought life and the potential, the unlimited potential, so to speak, of our thought life is just so shocking. She says that there is this tremendous amount of evidence out there, collectively, that points to that shows that up to 80% of all sickness, physical, mental, and emotional sicknesses, can be directly related to the way we think. Now that is a strong statement. We've already gone over that one to some extent. But she says our thoughts are so important because they have a way of governing the two major fundamental components that determines our bodily survival. And those two components, she says, are protection against infection and all of that. And the second one, she says, is the component of growth. Two fundamentals that determine your survival. And she says that the body tries to major on focusing on growth as opposed to protection, because of the billions of cells that wear out and die every single day. Can you compute that? Billions of cells? Well, you've got lots to work on, because there's supposed to be 120 to 130 trillion cells in your body. So don't worry about a few billion that may be dead today. The blood will carry out the ashes and provide you with new ones. But what a concept. What a concept that our thoughts can affect our our body cells to that extent. She says this. She says that our thoughts have the power to change our body cells right down to genetic levels, restructuring the cells at that level. And she quotes scientific information that's out there that has revealed that when that kind of cellular restructuring is taking place in response to our thoughts, that the body becomes, and if it happens because of toxic thoughts, your body becomes vulnerable to the invasion of sicknesses and diseases. But she says, on the flip side, if we are thinking positive, healthy thoughts, then the body cells are blessed, and they then function in a whole new level of health and realizing their potential for good memory production or formation of good memories, and just an environment that's so positive for the body. So these thoughts that we think are so powerful to help the two major fundamentals, growth and protection, to do their job. Growth, the body focuses mainly on growth, but also on protection. And that's the normal way to live. But when toxic thoughts happen, we think negative thoughts, then the body has to focus on protection to keep those foreign invaders out. And toxic thinking, she says, throws those two fundamentals puts them at odds with each other and causes a severe loss of energy, which makes you lethargic and all of that. So if any of you are tired tonight, well, it may be because you've been, you know, wrestling with toxic thoughts that messes up your protection fundamental and the replacement of body cells where growth is involved. Well, why am I? Our thoughts. When she says that our thoughts have the power to restructure our cells down to genetic levels, just think of what that means. With 120 to 30 trillion cells, each cell has a DNA molecule in it that determines how you look, what your color of your hair, color of your eyes, and all of that. And your thoughts are going to affect those body cells. And the DNA. If those thoughts are stressful, then the DNA molecule may mess up your immune system. But that's not the end of the story. 120 trillion cells and a DNA molecule in each cell. But then those components are made up of atoms that are in turn made up of neutrons and electrons and positrons and morons and, I mean, whatever. Just think of the complexity of your body. And it all is designed to function in corroboration with good, healthy, positive thoughts in our head, in our brain. And when we think negative thoughts that are not in line with the Holy Scriptures and brain science, then we ourselves at risk to infections and sicknesses and diseases. Wow. Well, friends, I just want to encourage you to go with me to the next stage where we focus on renewing our minds. Dr. Leaf says that our brains don't wear out. We are not victims of our biology. So often, the professionals put so much stock in what your mother had and what your father had, and what your grandparents suffered from. She says, we are not victims of our biology. Just because of what they had, it doesn't mean that that's what you have to have. Isn't that encouraging? I like that. She says we can switch on our brains, we can renew our brains and refresh and start over. Now that's good news. That's very good news. She says the brain, your thought life, has the power to change you in terms of new relationships, better relationships, and also right down to your, where your success, where your business life, kicks in. She says your mind, your thoughts have the power to change all of those things for the better. Wow. Whole new levels of mental health, memory formations. She says that stressful thoughts and all those negative things, they tend to cause the like your thoughts are like trees, but when you engage in negative thoughts and stressful thoughts, then the branches that are formed on the trees of your thought life, they start falling off. But if you curb that and get into positive thinking, you'll form new branches, new memories. And every thought you think has a corresponding emotion. She says, when you sweep away the toxic thoughts from your life, the toxic emotions will also sweep away. That is an encouraging thing as well from what she says in the book. So now the renewing part of the mind. She makes reference to several verses from the Bible, and I'd like to kick in a few others. In Isaiah, when that was written 700 years before Christ, like 2,700 years ago, when there were no brain scientists, it says that thou wilt keep him, God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed, is focused on him. So trust in the Lord, Jehovah, and he will bless you with strength, make you like a rock. Wow. And then the psalmist kicks in, and he asks, how many of you would like to live a long, good life and enjoy many days? He says, keep your tongue from evil, from speaking guile. Seek peace, shalom, and pursue it. That's how you get to live a long, good, healthy life. Now, please understand that for your tongue to speak only good things instead of evil, like he says there, your brain has to provide the power to do that, right? So the programming into here has to be in place for the tongue to speak good instead of evil. Before the tongue can articulate anything, it has to take place up here first. And then we read this verse. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he in his daily life. Now that is both encouraging and challenging. So if we learn to program our minds with the things from the scriptures, then it's assured that we are going to walk in a whole new level of health. Jesus put it this way. He said, why are you guys worrying and all anxious about tomorrow and the food that you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to put on? He said, just look at the lilies. Look at the birds. God takes care of them. And you are of much more value than those created things. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his right ways. And all these other things that you need in life will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Paul talks about renewing the mind in sync again with what Dr. Leaf talks about. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The Greek word there is metamorphosis. Just like a worm, a caterpillar, spins a cocoon so that it might eventually emerge as a monarch butterfly. Beautiful, beautiful thing. And he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can prove in practice that the will of God for your life is good and acceptable and perfect. Wow. Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, before there were any brain scientists. That encourages me because it just gives you a picture of what a wonderful Bible we have. So beautifully inspired by the Spirit of the Lord, always in sync with modern science, even though it's not a book on science, doesn't purport to be. But when it does talk on science, it's in harmony. Even like the sphericity of the earth being a circle instead of flat. Isaiah talks about that too. God sits upon the circle, the sphere of the earth. Ah. Well, friends, I don't know where I'm at with you right now. We've tried to spit out some things that can make you healthy, can bring about a whole new level of divine health. But what I understand from what Dr. Lee says about the human mind, it just impresses me that here God has built something that if we use it correctly, in sync with the Holy Scriptures, that we're going to end up in whole new levels of divine health. And I just want to testify personally that it works, because it works in my life. It has worked for quite a number of years, because when I grew up, I was sick all the time. Every year I'd get flus, fevers, cold sores, colds, like clockwork, 3-4 times a year. And because I grew up in a dysfunctional home, I grew up with a lot of fear. I grew up with a lot of insecurity, inferiority, lack of self-worth, and rejection. Even the doctor that my mom and dad went to on a cold mid-January day in the open sleigh of horses, when he found out that Dad had no money to deliver the baby, which was me, he said, I'm not delivering that baby. And he turfed them out in the snow. Might have been in 20, 30 below zero a day. So that's how I started. I wasn't even valuable enough to be born in a hospital. But fortunately, they found a farmer and his wife that had compassion on me, that I could be born in a sanitary, warm set of circumstances.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.